Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hey, bro, I got this new invention.
Shit, let's hear it.
It's called a clock.
Okay.
It's gonna reflect how we keep track of the time of day. I'm gonna put 12 numbers on it.
So the day's gonna be cut into 12 parts.
Nah, 24.
Okay, so the day starts at 1?
Nah, it's gonna start at 12, which is at night. The day's gonna start at night. Yeah. The 6 means 30.
Okay.
But for real. And then I'm gonna... You see how I put two hands on it? This is where it gets interesting. Little hand keeps track of the bigger increment of time. Other hand keep track of the lesser increment of time.
What about that hand? Right there.
Oh, that one right there?
Yeah, that one.
It's called the second hand.
Sounds like a good idea to me, bro.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, May 12th, but what is time, really? I'm J.E. Skeets, along with me, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! Hey,
the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. And last, but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello!
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team. Joining us live right now on YouTube, please like, please comment, and make sure you've subscribed to No Dunks on YouTube. Tell your friends. Let's get those numbers up. Email us your questions and comments for our mailbag-only Beach Step-In podcast. You can email in your questions, nodunks@theathletic.com, or tweet them in at nodunksinc. We'll be stepping on the beach later today, gentlemen. And in fact, we'll get in the mood later in this show. A little beach tea has got a few questions that poured out of the mailbag, spilled over because we had so many good ones, so we'll get to those a little bit later in the show. And go grab your sweet No Dunks merch at nodunks.com. Finally, before we get into last night's games and another wedgie, big news for this Thursday, guys. No Dunks Happy Hour? Well, it's turned into a charity drive. Yeah, this is going to be a blast. We're going to be raising money on Thursday night's Happy Hour for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. The fun gets underway at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So we've got a goal in mind. We'll share it on Happy Hour in terms of how much money we want to try and raise on that Happy Hour. And we're going to hit it in, I don't know, Lee, I want to do it in an hour.
Ooh.
I got so much faith in the No Dunks
Army. The happiest hour.
That's right.
Let's hope you're right. We can rally the crew and everyone chip in for a good cause. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so that's on Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. But I said it there. We had another wedgie last night, guys. Maybe we'll get the 50th wedgie while we're doing happy hour. Oh, man, and then the donations will just pour in. We'll hit a million there. But yeah, we had wedgie number 49, if you're keeping track, which we are. Nas Reed.
Nice.
Sticking it. Yeah, ooh. A little scoop and a stick, they're calling it on Twitter.
Really nice one
there from Nas. And... that gets us to 49. Oh, my goodness. Oh. In the shortened season, we might hit 50 before the end of the regular season. Yes, we count playoff wedgies, but this is awesome. And I don't know. I think it's looking good, Lili, that we hit number 50 here before we even get to the play-in tournament and then the playoffs. I think we might go over 50 at this point.
I think you're right, too. I think we're definitely going to do it. But what happens if that 50th comes in the play-in? Is that a regular season or is that a playoff win?
It doesn't matter, really.
Do they count? Do they even count? We know those stats don't count. So
where do they go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're doing it. I think we're doing it by this weekend. I just feel it. There's so many games, and we've just had such a great season of wedgies. It's happening. Who's going to get it?
I'm like almost convinced more now than ever that we are going to get the 50th wedgie during happy hour. I think it's going to happen. Like, Trey, like, we'll be live for a couple hours. There's games on Thursday nights, of course. So you watch. It's going to stick 50. The stream team's going to go bonkers. I'll make sure we grab the clip while we're live on the air. We'll play it. We'll pop some champagne. I forget if you guys got one too. I have a wedgie flask. Where did that come from? Was that from NBA TV themselves? Did they give it to us?
No, I don't think so.
Anyway,
I've got mine. Yeah.
So I'm going to be, drinking some of the brown stuff from that when we hit 50 there on happy hour. I was like, oh my God, I have a wedgie flask. Like, it's engraved number 50 wedgie on it or something like that. So
you're crazy for this one, Skeets. It's certainly possible. Got a sort of light schedule tonight. Only 6 games, but I mean, the wedgies have been sticking fast and furious lately. And Marcus Smart will be playing tonight. Ooh, Boston at Cleveland. It's possible he sticks the 50th wedgie again, or we might be waiting till Thursday watching it on happy hour. Yep. Either way, if it comes tonight on a wedgie Wednesday with Mr. 50 himself, Marcus Smart, that would be huge.
That would be amazing.
Or, I mean, obviously, during a happy hour would be major, major stuff.
Oh, yeah, and we were talking about it on the Top Shot Hot Boys last night. Trey and I were... The Charlotte Hornets are doing like the first ever NBA like NFT commemorative ticket on Thursday night. So maybe it'll be the Hornets game, Trey. Like it'll happen there.
Then we got to track one down for sure.
Then we got to get an NFT from the Hornets somehow, but it will happen on Man, I can't wait. We are talking this into existence. I love it. Okay, let's get to the actual games though from last night. Tons on. What the hell? 11 games on a Tuesday night. That's sort of
chunky
by
schedule.
Surprise. Very chunky. And it feels like, I don't know, every single game almost matters to some extent. Now, we're not going to go through all of them here, but we start with the Lakers fighting off the Knicks in overtime. Defensive battle. What do we have, like 200 points in an overtime game combined? Incredible stuff, but Trey, Lakers pull it out in the end.
Yeah, I don't know if this was the game of the year, but this was definitely the game of the year for all the Illinois boys out there because this game was a banger despite being pretty ugly. Highlighted by big performances from Chicago's own Derrick Rose, Anthony Davis, and most importantly, Talen Horton Tucker. Mm. Skeets, if this were a Netflix show, it would be ugly delicious. Because this was ugly. No LeBron, no Dennis Schroeder, eventually no Alex Caruso for the Lakers. That's their three main ball handlers. No Emmanuel Quickley, no Alec Burks for the Knicks. The Lakers shot 41% from the field and won. Because the Knicks shot 39%, like you're saying, 200 points combined. The Knicks didn't even get to 100 in an overtime game? That's wild stuff in 2021, but these teams were scrapping. Lakers just made a few more plays down the stretch in regulation and in overtime. And regulation, Wesley Matthews with the big tip to tie things up off a missed three from KCP. As Tom Thibodeau said post-game, it was really the rebounding that beat the Knicks. That's 100% true. The Lakers grabbed 14 offensive rebounds last night. A lot of missed shots, a lot of rebounds to be had. But the Lakers certainly outworked New York on the glass for the entirety of the evening. In overtime, it was THT on TNT. Oh! Forced into playing point guard. Talen Horton Tucker scores 8 of his 13 in overtime. Also had a couple of brutal turnovers twice in the last 2 minutes, including getting straight up ripped by Derrick Rose with about a minute left. But THT's got guts. Just under 30 seconds left in overtime. Lakers run a pick and roll with him and Anthony Davis. THT pulls up from the left wing over his childhood hero, Derrick Rose. Splash! All the Illinois boys go wild. RJ Barrett takes an insane shot on the other end for the Knicks. Lakers win. Lakers win. Lee once upon a time said, this was a game about a game. This was a game. This thing was ugly, but it was super fun to watch. A throwback to the 90s kind of game right there. Looking like Eldon Campbell and Like, who was on the Knicks? I don't want to go Patrick Ewing. He's too good right here compared to Eldon Campbell. Mason. I want those that next level down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if Eldon Campbell and Marcus Camby didn't really cross over with each other during this, but you know what I'm saying. It felt like a 90s game, not a 2021 game. Fun times, though.
Mm. Yeah, and crazily, when you're like trying to track the standings and the playoff races, to see a team drop two spots in one night after one game, and that's what the Knicks did. They were fourth heading into the night last night in the Eastern Conference and are now sitting sixth. Because the Hawks go up to fourth, and the Heat, who will get to beat the Celtics to jump up to fifth. That is just sort of insane. Now, they're not dropping any further, but this is big, as we've talked about. You're going to want to be the 4-5 seed in the East to have a really good chance to advance to the second round. For a lot of these teams, that would be huge, especially the Knicks or the Hawks. Maybe less so for the Heat, who just went to the finals. But here they are now sitting in sixth and would have a very, very tough first round against possibly the Bucks. I guess it could still even be the Nets. Yeah. It's nuts trying to wrap your head around this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Their best hope is, of course, as you mentioned, I think against the Hawks, I think even the Heat would be a tough matchup for the Knicks in that first round just because of their experience and they've been there before. So, and the Knicks had this game too late. You know, Julius Randle again he didn't have a great shooting night, but he hit a big shot late, that three-pointer. They just couldn't quite finish off the job. I mean, Derrick Rose, again, was just incredible off the bench for them, like, because they didn't really have anyone else scoring for them last night. Again, when you've got a bit of an arm wrestle like this, you need someone who can get a bucket, and Rose had that mid-ranger going too. So, yeah, the Knicks have still got enough time just to get out of jail here, but that was just one of those costly losses because, facing the Bucks in the first round is such a different prospect than facing the Atlanta Hawks. So we'll see how they rebound from this. But it's been a good road trip overall for the Knicks. They got the win there against the Clippers on Sunday. What day is it today? Yeah, it's Wednesday.
They went three and three on the road.
It feels like they've been on the road actually for a long time because I know they played the Jazz and the Nuggets and the Suns out there as well. So it's been a tough stretch. But coming back 3-3, I think they'd take that. I think overall, that's a pretty good return for them. So they come home now and they've just got to take care of business if they can in their last couple of games here. Just looking at the schedule, they've got the Spurs next. Obviously, that's back in New York. So that could go either way. Then they've got the Hornets and the Celtics to close out. So they're all at home, and it could just depend on who's sort of playing for those teams. But if they can pick up two wins out of those three, that might be enough just to get them back to that fifth place in the Eastern Conference.
We haven't even had a play-in game yet this season, and this thing is the biggest success of all time. Man. I mean, it is unbelievable. We have been doing this for a long time. A daily NBA podcast. This is by far the greatest couple of weeks to end a season that we've ever had. It's not even close. These are usually the worst, most boring shows as you get down the stretch. And for the most part, teams are locked in and then they're just resting a bunch of guys. And you're sort of keeping your eye on the, tankathon.com and but you're like struggling to come up with content. And instead, we have like these games that are late at night on a Tuesday night when you've had already 10 games on. And then this one's like feels like must watch. And it's like got a playoff intensity, just like the Warriors Suns games. Like, what the hell? This is amazing. This is like absolutely perfect to keep at least some more people interested in these games and even just the media cycle to be talking about all of this. Like Tom Ziller's newsletter this morning, I don't know if you guys had a chance to read it yet. He basically breaks down the two races, one in the East, one in the West. The one in the West is the 5-6-7 race, okay? And he breaks it down in unbelievable detail and tiebreakers and what happens if they win and they lose. And then in the East, you got the 4-5-6, as we just talked about, with the Hawks, now the Heat, and then the Knicks. And it's like, just those two races alone. And on top of that, there are a million other races in terms of seeding. So this is, thumbs up. Way to go, Adam Silver. Sorry, LeBron, this is absolutely perfect. I love this.
Yeah.
We had no complaints. All right, well, let's go to that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I guess I didn't anticipate the multiple races factor of it. Like, to me, it seemed like, okay, we're going to be having a race here at the end of the season to see who gets the 10th seed. People just wanting to be in the play-in tournament. That's kind of the case. You know, the Bulls are still on the periphery there. It seems to be settling into our play-in teams here, but now we suddenly have races for 4, 5, 6 as well, like you're saying.
Yeah.
7 and 8, you want to be in that spot too. There's even a mini race in the play-in tournament. Just throwing this random little wrench in here, is making things exciting. We're going down to the last week of the season. Other than, I guess, it must have been 2016, right, where we had the Wolves versus the Nuggets, that one play-in, one-game play-in, to have things this unsettled, coming down to it and having these games actually matter at the end of the season, crazy stuff.
Mm.
That week off for teams that are 1-6 is huge, because next week it's basically all the play-in tournament games that are going on. So you get a lot of rest, and in a season here that's obviously shortened, yes, to 72 games, but action-packed because of obviously games that were postponed. Like, this second half schedule has been insane. That's why we're having 11 games on a Tuesday night. Everybody, like, the poor Spurs have something like 4 and 5 games here.
Yeah.
Four games and five nights coming up if you're counting the play-in, if they're eventually. Anyway, you want that week off. So you're right, Trey. It's like really encouraging these teams. Like, forget about the part of like, ugh, you know, you never know what happens in a 1 or 2 game situation where you could lose. It's just like, Jesus, let's get a week of rest here at this point. Recharge the batteries as we head into these playoff series. So it's fantastic. All right, well, let's get to the Suns-Warriors game. Warriors rallied past the Suns behind Andrew Wiggins, baby. Oh, my God, 38 points for Wiggy. Hope you kept your nice condo there on Wiggins Island, Lee, because real estate prices are booming right now. Wiggins is on fire over the last little stretch. He's playing really solid on both ends, actually. So, what was your big takeaway besides Wiggins Island real estate going to the moon?
Well, if you were to sort of pick things out of the box score of this game, you would think the Suns win it pretty easily because Booker had a big night, 34 points, Chris Paul, 24 and 10, and then Jay Crowder with 20. So they got lots of scoring, lots of contributions. And then you look at Steph Curry, 1 for 11 from downtown, 7 for 22 overall, 21 points. But the Warriors won because Andrew Wiggins in that fourth quarter had 13 big points, including a big three, a big drive there as well, where Draymond was super hyped up there and sort of gave him the big chest bump. And the Warriors pulled this one out. And so this is actually, I'm going to say, this has been a good couple of losses here for the Phoenix Suns because they lost to the Lakers without LeBron. The Lakers were desperate for a win and they got it. And now the Warriors also, you know, they're not desperate for a win, but they needed that win and they're playing like a playoff team. And this is what the Suns are going to have to get used to because this is what it's going to be like for them in the playoffs. Teams
losing to play-in teams? I hope they don't get used to that.
Yeah. No, but these teams are experienced teams. These teams are teams that like are playing for something. And so the Suns didn't just get like a free pass.
They're getting some
the
reps
playoffs.
In here for
exactly,
these tight games.
And you know, close games at the end. And the Suns need to know how to pull those ones out. Because Chris Paul was, again, great in that little mid-range, but they didn't get the W here for them. So I think overall, this is something the Suns can certainly learn from and expect to see so much more of in the next couple of weeks. Because they're a good team at home, but it's going to be so much different if they go on the road. Because they could face one of these two teams in the first round. And so they just know it's going to be tough for them. But Wiggins, great. I mean, he stepped up. Steph Curry, really, they did a great job defending him last night. He hit that. The only three he hit was a pretty wild one as well. Like off a screen, he was deep there. And this is after he had that huge game against the Thunder the other night where he had the 11-3. Since then, he's like 4 for 24 from downtown.
That's right.
Whoever they face next, someone's gonna see a Steph Curry 10 for 12 game from three coming up here pretty soon.
Probably.
Another good, fun game. Really entertaining stuff there last night. The Suns can't drop from second. I think they can still technically grab first. They probably won't. But the Warriors did lock up their play-in card, if you like. Yeah. They're in that tournament. It's now just a matter of where they finish. And that Lakers Knicks game was so huge because you know that the Blazers and the Mavericks were pulling for the Knicks, and so were the Warriors, because where it stands right now, the Lakers do have home court against the Warriors, but of course the Warriors can still afford to lose that game and still advance. So,
and then the Grizzlies kicked the snot out of the Mavericks last night, and Grizzlies are right behind the Warriors trying to.
They're only half a game back there, so it is so close here. But great stuff. And Andrew Wiggins, he's a reluctant hero out there, I think, because he sort of doesn't quite know how to react when he has a great performance and a great moment. He's kind of like, oh shit, I did the right thing this time, guys. You know, and well done to him. Good stuff.
Yeah, I know. Tass had some great numbers on what you need to know. I think Dave DeFore did too. Going over Wiggins, like last, like I think it was like 29 games, like 29 or 30 games, where he's like really, really shooting the ball well. Again, contributing defensively, he's over 20 points per game. He's looking like, you know, what you sort of expect from a Wiggins. At least when you look at the guy's body type, you're like, yeah, you should be able to bring it on both ends. in today's league, you definitely should be a 20 point per game scorer, which you've obviously proven to be before on a bad Wolves team. And yeah, he's coming through here. You know, everybody's interested in a Subway franchise on Wiggins Island right now. Like, this is great for me. You know, everybody's talking about Doge, but what about Wiggins Island and the Subway franchises? I mean, it's awesome, Trey. Anything to add?
Yeah, he's been great. There's no doubt about it, as have the Warriors. Basically, since James Wiseman went down, you know, their rotation has been really short, and I think that has helped a guy like Wiggins, who knows I'm playing regardless. Like, they need me to score. They need me to shoot the ball. That gives you the confidence that maybe Wiggins has lacked in the past, but this little run that the Warriors have gone on has been pretty impressive. I think Draymond has honestly been really, really good lately for the Warriors. He's all over the court defensively, as usual. He's the backbone of their defense. They're still a top five defense with Wiggins contributing as well. The shot's coming around a little bit. He's obviously passing the ball pretty nicely. Draymond, he just seems to know how to time his body. I feel like he did something very similar. It must have been the 2019 season. Remember where, like, he was struggling through that entire season, and then suddenly he lost like 19 pounds in 10 days or something like that, and suddenly was posting triple doubles left and right. Very similar, I think, what's been happening with Draymond. He just seems to be peaking right now heading into the playoffs, and it's working out. Less options for the Warriors, saying, Steph, you're going to have to do a whole bunch. We'll take whatever we can get from anybody else. That's unleashed guys like Wiggins and Jordan Poole, who've been pretty solid. But I think the big winner last night, Therapy Bunny Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see this?
Yeah.
A straight-up rabbit who's apparently associated with the San Francisco Giants made its way to the game last night. Golden State hosted Alex as a lucky rabbit's foot for its playoff push. Obviously, it worked.
Yep.
But the team doesn't typically allow bunnies in the arena.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like on the back of your ticket stuff. It's like, you know, it's got all the regulations on there. At the very bottom, it says no bunnies.
Right.
Parentheses, unless during playoff push. But Alex came through in the clutch last night, like Buster Posey hitting a walk-off homer.
It's like it's a big-ass bunny, too, your rabbit.
That's
whatever.
A big bunny,
I thought it was going to be small. In my head, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a cute little tiny rabbit or whatever. It's huge.
That's like the size of a forearm,
monster.
Easily.
Yeah, it's like holding it up like a giant groundhog, stuff like that. It didn't look comfortable, I'll be honest, too, in the clip I saw, like trying to stay on the guy's lap as he's holding on for dear life to not let the bunny run away, but yeah.
I would think it would be hard to control a rabbit for 3 hours of a basketball game.
Yeah, I would think
so,
too.
I don't have a lot of experience.
What does the rabbit think about the idea of it being the lucky charm because of the rabbit's foot? You know what usually the rabbit's foot is? It's off the damn rabbit. Like, does the rabbit know this? Like, are they going to sacrifice this poor guy to keep the streak alive, to keep the luck going? I hope not. Otherwise, it's just there.
Things definitely get a little scarier if they start losing some games. They're like,
well, yeah.
Maybe we don't need the whole rabbit.
Exactly. I mean, it won't sit still, but we just need the foot. Rabbit's foot.
Just get that foot. We've got the regulations here. They're right on the ticket.
Okay, Fred says, Fred's back. He was in the stream team last night for our Top Shot Hot Boys. He was very confused what was going on, but he said, rabbits are cute, but they act like dickheads.
That's very
well,
true.
In groups they do, yeah.
In groups?
That, yeah, in that group mentality, yeah, they go crazy. Yeah.
What?
I used to shoot them. I used to cull them for a friend of mine on his farm because they're everywhere, and they just cause so much destruction. So, yeah, I mean, tough job there, being a rabbit.
Like, why is it when they get together they're worse?
Well,
like,
because they cause so much
and
destruction.
Smoking and stuff and loitering.
You know, they
play
encourage
their music
each other
really loud.
Yeah, they just they're devastating for farmers. So you have to take them out, unfortunately.
Were you a good shot, Lily?
I mean, I probably went probably 50-55% from the field, I would say.
Okay.
You know, because you shine the light and they stop and they look and you know, you gotta
oh, look at this.
I missed a couple, but I landed a few
looking
too.
Comfortable with a weapon in your hand. Oh, my goodness.
It's just like a pellet gun sort of thing. It's like, I mean, it can kill them, but the old farmer, like if you injure one and you don't kill it, he just gets up and twists its neck. Like, But then they feed them to the dog, so it's not like they just leave them there.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. This is getting darker and darker here. Holy crap. Oh, why did you bring up this rabbit, Trey?
I need a therapy bunny right now. Can I hold Alex, please?
Wow. Things got dark here on a Wednesday morning. Okay.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's keep it going. The Heat clinched a playoff spot with the 129-121 victory over the Celtics. So, you know, we slipped it in there, but Miami moves into a tie with the Hawks for fifth place in the Eastern Conference. Atlanta has the tiebreaker there, so they're fourth, Heat fifth. Heat's 10th win in 13 games, just three games to go for them in the regular season. They are starting to click. I remember we were talking a while ago, we thought, when the Celtics like had a nice run, we were like, oh, wow, this would be interesting if Boston becomes like the fourth, like really, really good team in the Eastern Conference to go with obviously Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee. And we thought that might happen. And of course, well, the opposite happened. They just started faltering. But it's the Heat. I think we just had the wrong team because this is like, I mean, would you guys agree that of the top three in the East and then you go to the second tier, is Miami at the top of that second tier because of what they did last year, what we know they're capable of doing with obviously the talent on their team when they're all healthy, with their new additions helping in like Ariza and Dedmon and stuff like that? Is that fair, Lili, that the Heat would be either in that group with those three best teams or right below them?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, as we talked about before, Jimmy Butler knows it doesn't really matter where he is in the standings. I mean, obviously, they would prefer home court advantage, but he knows that he's beaten the Bucks last season and he's beaten the Philadelphia 76ers. Or, you know, he's got some beef, I guess, there in the past there with the 76ers. So, you know, I think he knows that if they're at full strength, like any team, and they're playing their best and they're getting contributions like Dragic off the bench last night, they're a tough team to beat and to just eliminate, because the Heat, I believe, have a great way of just controlling the tempo and the pace. You know, they like to just slow it down and play their style. So if they can get a team out of their rhythm, that plays into Miami's hand. So certainly, you know, if you're the Nets or the Sixers or the Bucks, you want the Hawks or the Knicks in that second round. You don't want to just see Miami, because you should be able to beat them. You should. You've had a better season and you've got better players, but it's just different in the playoffs. And you know, there's no fresher memory than what we saw from the Heat down in the bubble there last season. You know, the Pacers, that wasn't a huge upset, but to do it against the Celtics and the Bucks as easily as they did in the end just showed what they are capable of. And Jimmy Butler loves that environment. He loves that situation. So, the Heat are definitely asleep there in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, the other teams, you know, should feel they can beat them. But it should be a great series, too, whoever they face. And, yeah, if you're the Hawks, as we said earlier, if Hawks or the Knicks want each other, they don't want the Heat.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because especially with everybody contributing to Miami. Jimmy left this game, you know, getting shot to the eye there. But Tyler Hero, is it bubble hero time? Like, is that what's going on here? 24 points on 15 shots off the bench, 11 rebounds as well. Dragic, you said there, Lee, the Dragon unleashed. I think he hit three straight threes at the start of the fourth quarter. Really, like, put the game away. Duncan Robinson, he had a nice little run, scored 8 of his 13 third quarter points during a big Heat run. You know, I got into it a little bit with Smart there. And then Bam, I mean, a 22-7-5. An incredible post-game interview, too, Trey. I don't know if you saw him talking to D-Wade and the guys back in the studio. He just shocks me how charismatic he is. I don't know why. I have it in my head like he's just a stone-cold killer, like the way he sort of plays on the floor, and that it wouldn't be like that often. But he's, like, really personable, and he was making fun of Wade for not texting him back within 24 hours because he's, like, a superstar status and stuff like that. It was great. So, yeah, the Heat. You know, look, I've been convinced over this last couple of weeks here where they look like the Heat from last year. You can't deny that when all these guys are contributing.
Oh, absolutely. And like you're saying, yeah, Bam, nice little personality there. Because if I'm being completely honest, I don't love his video bombs with Jimmy Butler. I think he could be doing a little bit more back there, going a little bit more wacky. But when he's the star of the interview, came through in the clutch, and that's exactly what the Heat are doing. 10 of their last 13 wins, Hero turning it on to get a win like that. Last night with Jimmy Butler only playing a handful of minutes before taking a poke to the eye. That's impressive stuff. You know, the Heat are, aside from Jimmy Butler's eye, basically the healthiest they've been this season. Not a surprise then that they're able to put that chemistry together and build on something. They've got a top 10 defense, suddenly a bottom 10 offense, but they've still got the guys that can do it. We'll see how things play out with regards to seeding and stuff, but I would not be surprised if they end up playing Philadelphia in the second round. You will see a lot of people taking the Heat because you got Bam. He'll at least be able to stick with Embiid a little bit, take some bumps inside, use his quickness, use his defensive ability to make it tough for Embiid, whereas you'll probably take Jimmy Butler over Ben Simmons in a playoff game. I think that's a pretty easy choice. And then from there, it's like, who's going to show up from the role players? We saw the Heat do it last season. Will that happen for the Sixers this season as a number one seed? Perhaps, but I think you'll see a lot of people looking for an upset if those two teams meet in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. All right, let's fly through the other games here. I'll chuck them all at you, and Trey, you can go wherever you want, and Lee, you can do the same. We had Durant scoring 21 as the Nets beat the Bulls 115-107. Uh-oh, not good for Chicago's chances of getting in. Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks helped Memphis to the 133-104 domination over the Dallas Mavericks. The Pacers kept the Sixers from clinching the number one seed in the East, at least for another day. No Joel Embiid, but Sabonis, another monster game. LeVert hitting big shots. The Nuggets clinched home court advantage for at least one playoff series with a victory over the Hornets. And then we had the Clippers spanking the Raps, Bucks beating the Magic, Kings crushing OKC, Sacramento technically still alive too to try to get into the play-in, but probably not happening. And then Minnesota beating Detroit. Where do you want to go, Trey?
The Bulls, you know, still technically alive. Going to be basically impossible, though, after last night. Caris LeVert, Domantas Sabonis, a couple of nice games back-to-back for the Indiana Pacers to lock them in to the play-in tournament there. And obviously, it would have been nice for the Bulls to beat the Nets. But, you know, they beat them once this year. And a second time was going to be a tough one. So, yeah, the Bulls, they got to go perfect from here on out and get some help. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, Zach LaVine scored 41 points last night. That was cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
I saw somebody in the stream team here. I'll throw it up if I can find it. Flixer DK, is it good for Minnesota to win if they lose their draft pick? That is something to watch right now. They've won two in a row, Lee.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at tankathon.com. They've fallen, I throw in air quotes, to sixth, right? In terms of the worst record in the league. You got Houston running away with this thing with the best chances, or at least splitting that three-way tie for the best chances with Detroit, who has 20 wins, OKC with 21 wins, and then it's Cleveland 21 wins, Orlando 21 wins, and then Minnesota 22 wins, again, after having won two in a row. And, you know, if it stays like that, they still have a 9% chance to get the number one pick. You know, something close to like a 38% chance to get into the top four, but they do have to give up that pick if it's not top three. Is that right? To the Golden State Warriors. So it's it's interesting. They are winning some games here. They look, you know, they're playing the Pistons. It was a dominant win for them, but will they do some shenanigans here over the next couple of nights and just say, oh, okay, everybody sit down, everybody relax, because let's try and like get ahead of a couple of those teams. We're only one win ahead of them. That's something to watch.
Look, it's a tough thing because it's been such a bad season there in Minnesota. I think you don't want to then look like you're tanking. But, of course, if you do and you increase your chance of getting a better player next season, then maybe it's worth it. Now, they've got the Nuggets. They've got three games left all at home, Nuggets, Celtics, and the Mavericks. Now, the Nuggets, as you mentioned, have clinched a home court advantage. So do they maybe start to look to rest some players? Who knows how teams are going to play these last couple of games. But for the Timberwolves, you hope that for this season, after what's going on, that at least, I don't know what to do. I don't know what they should do, to be honest, because, you know, Anthony Edwards has been great for them, no question. So they've got one very nice piece there. Towns, you know, he's looking to win now. And Russell's been good since he's come back. So there's been some good vibes there in Minnesota. So does it matter if they mail it in the last couple of games? Probably not in the grand scheme of things. So maybe they should just take that route.
Well, don't the draft experts say this is like a five-man draft anyway, TK? Like right now they'd be losing their pick if they're not top three, so it wouldn't be theirs to have, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, what do you do, Trey, if you're Minnesota? Do you shut it down here for the rest of this week and try and, like, again, help your chances of keeping your pick and falling in the top three? Or do you let the basketball gods maybe reward you for trying to, like, win some games here, put a little winning streak together, and, you know, maybe get lucky with the lottery balls?
That's what I do. Continue to pay tribute to the basketball gods because compared to the Rockets and the Dastardly Thunder, the Timberwolves are the only of those three teams to have not really tanked it hard here in the second half of the season. What the Thunder are doing is honestly bananas. So like they're like they are not in the NBA right now. At least the Rockets are playing their standard guys. I'm tanking down here, dropping my water bottle, smacking
you
things
and
around.
You that water bottle, man.
Hey,
I feel like you're always kicking it.
You know, I got a vanity here for a desk, so I can't really keep it on because my arms are too big. So I keep it on the floor and forget about it. I knock it over and
you also
just
have a giant water bottle. Pick that thing up. It's like huge. That's the other part. Like I always wonder, like, why don't you just like,
hey man,
hiking or something?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you think I want to have two water bottles. You think I want to be refilling this thing left and right?
Sometimes, like I see you like when you're off camera, like take a little sip, and it looks like you're struggling to pick it up. It looks so heavy. Like you're like yeah.
You know, I'm trying to get my muscles up, Skeets. It's hard to get your hands on dumbbells these days, so I like to fill this thing up and go for a full pump. Look, you can actually see him rippling here on YouTube. Yeah. This is amazing,
great, man.
But yeah, just like I'm paying tribute to the muscle gods, I think the Timberwolves need to continue paying tribute to the basketball gods. They will be rewarded. I don't think they should be rewarded with the number one pick in back-to-back seasons, but a number two would be fine.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break, and then let's hit the beach. Oh, yeah, a little beach tease. Got some questions for you guys. Yeah, a little beach step-in before the actual beach step-in. Join us later today on Wednesday here at 3 p.m. Eastern live on YouTube as we read your emails and tweets that you guys have been fantastic at sending in. But a couple spilled over, like I said. So we'll get to the first one here. Hey, boys. The Wizards' late season mediocre rise has got me wondering if some teams missed an opportunity to jump aboard the Westbrook triple-double train to team intensity. Considering his depreciated trade value at the time, I'm leaning towards yes. So my question is this. Which teams do you think should have jumped at a Westbrook trade earlier in the season? My vote goes towards the struggling Celtics. A Kemba-Westbrook swap could have had a huge impact on how their disappointing season played out. The Pidlin Beantown boys may have been transformed into a group of mighty Lightning legume lads with Westbrook simmering in the pot. Tepperi, Lima Garbanzo Adzuki coming at y'all by way of Saudi Arabia. This is from Wilkerson. So, yes, he did, I will say, title this email like 2020 hindsight here. But that's the question, Lee. If you could go back, if you were a GM of another team and Westbrook's to be had for a trade, who should have done it in hopes of maybe like saving their season or going in a different direction? You got anything, or do you agree with the Beantown boy swap there?
Well, I think, again, if we're assuming that you have to make a trade that works, I guess the Kemba one does, but it's whether or not that injury would have prevented the Rockets from saying, we want to take Kemba. Maybe they could have gotten someone, but of course they picked up John Wall, who'd missed a couple of years.
Yeah,
I remember floating the idea of the Jazz, because Mike Conley didn't really work out there with him in his first season, and their contracts kind of were close as well, Westbrook and Conley, and I think maybe he can inject them a little bit more, a little bit more pace. Conley's turned out to be pretty
amazing.
Much fantastic for them this season. So, no surprise the Jazz didn't do that. They made the right choice. I think the only other team...
I don't think Russell Westbrook would like playing in Utah.
No, I don't think so. But I just sort of thought that, it's like, hey, it's the sort of same thing.
That's
it's like, well, Conley opted into that contract and then it was like, okay. Anyway, the other team I thought may have tried to make it work was the Clippers. You know, when a team kind of is desperate like this, and we knew James Harden was kind of, potentially on the move, and the Clippers, after what happened last season, they needed someone else who could kind of be their ball handler. And I remember looking into, Lou Williams was there, and someone else had Westbrook's earning so much money, it was going to cost them a couple of players. But yeah. I just thought a team, after what happened last season, that desperation may have decided, hey, let's get Westbrook. He's a local guy as well. He's going to go to a team, that's got high expectations. This might be the right situation for him. So, I still think he probably could, somehow squeeze in on that team, playing alongside a couple of other legit stars where he wouldn't feel, he has to do it all himself. He has to just get those guys the ball, which could be better for Russ. So, that was one situation. And it would be interesting to see him on the Clippers right now, too, playing the way he is, just to see, because they added Rondo because they do need another ball handle. I mean, he's a different type of player, but... Yeah. I think that's the sort of situation that I, you know, could have seen him, you know, sort of could have seen unfolding. The Clippers just going all in again to try to get whatever they could if they could have made the salaries work somehow.
Okay. Trey, any other teams come to mind that could go back, if you could go back and grab yourself a Westbrook there?
Get yourself a Westbrook. What you think, Skeets? Would the Bulls and Raptors have made the playoffs if they were the teams to trade for Russell Westbrook? Obviously, the Bulls went for Vucevic, but I mean, you know, money-wise and team-wise, it wouldn't be too different. The Bulls having LaVine and Westbrook would be kind of similar to the Wizards having Westbrook and Beal, I think. And, you know, the Raptors, it would be very weird to consider a trade where Kyle Lowry, I suppose, would be the guy going out bringing in Westbrook. But as soon as you get Russell Westbrook, you start to turn into a Russell Westbrook team. And at the very least, that's going to give you a lot of triple-doubles and knocking on the door of a playoff spot. So, I don't know. I mean, that's the weird thing. It's almost impossible to imagine Westbrook on other teams because that other team just turns into the same team that we've seen, whether it be the Thunder or the Rockets or now the Wizards. Eventually, you just turn into a Westbrook team, and that's how he thrives.
Our next question here. Sup, No Dunks. I was recently listening to the Mismatch podcast discussing Kristaps Porzingis, and it got me thinking, has Tim Hardaway Jr. been a better acquisition for the Mavs than KP? Both were involved in the Knicks-Mavs trade, and THJ has been a regular and solid contributor ever since, while Kristaps has been constantly injured and has never really lived up to the hype that he was producing in New York. Are there any other trades where a thrown-in player has potentially outplayed the main acquisition? Hashtag, didn't know this was a hashtag, THJ50. Yeah, holding out hope that Tim Hardaway Jr. will pop off for 50 here. Thanks. That's from Cameron, all the way down in Tasmania, Australia. So, Trey, it's a good question. I don't know if you want to talk about the even the concept there with Tim Hardaway Jr. being really solid, of course, for the Mavericks in that Porzingis trade. But are there any other ones that are like that come to mind?
Well, for the first part, I would say that Tim Hardaway Jr. has been better for the Mavs than Kristaps Porzingis. But I also think that what Tim Hardaway brings to a team is exactly what the Mavericks need. They need somebody with a quick trigger who's going to chuck the threes. That is something you can find elsewhere. So right, I think right. Tim Hardaway is probably a little easier to replace. Obviously, the thing with Porzingis is he hasn't been able to stay on the court, but you see why the Knicks or why the Mavericks are interested in that trade, because the match between Doncic and Porzingis, it's ideal. That's exactly what you're looking for. Somebody who can stretch the court, somebody who gives him a little help, maybe roll into the rim occasionally. So, yes, I would say Tim Hardaway Jr. has been better for the Mavs, but the idea of Porzingis remains better. Mm-hmm. Okay, for another thrown-in guy who has outplayed the main acquisition, gotta be Chris Middleton. Drafted by Detroit way back when, number 39 pick. He played in 27 games as a rookie, averaged 6 points per game, but he was thrown into the Brandon for Brandon trade. Brandon wow. Jennings going to the Detroit Pistons, Brandon Knight, Vishalev Kravtsov, and Chris Middleton going back to Milwaukee. Middleton got better instantly, but it still took him a couple of seasons to actually become the starter for the Bucks. Now he's a two-time All-Star, 20-point-per-game guy. He's right near 50, 40, 90, part of a title-contending core. And that was just a guy that was basically thrown in for these two, you know, Brandon point guards who were both kind of stalling out in the places where they were. Maybe a change of scenery was going to help them. Maybe they were going to be able to actually, you know, shoot the ball well from outside. None of that transpired. Both Brandon Jennings and Brandon Knight out of the league, if I'm not mistaken right now. Maybe Brandon Knight had a cup of coffee here this season or last season. But Middleton has become an all-star, one of the most underrated players in the game. And that guy was just a thrown-in second-round draft pick not too long ago.
That's really good. I see a lot of people in the stream team suggesting this one too, Lele. Sabonis in the Paul George for Oladipo trade. That's a great one. Again, many of you dropping that one, including Emil Nate there. That's true. And he's turned into an All-NBA fifth team player now, as I talked about. Maybe fourth. I may bump him up even because this guy keeps racking up triple-doubles. He's like averaging insane numbers here in the month of May as we close out the season. Any other ones, though, that come to mind, Lele?
Slightly different angle on this. It was two players who were basically thrown into a trade when Grant Hill left the Pistons to go to the Magic. And he basically said he's leaving as a free agent. They worked out a sign and trade. That sign and trade turned out to be Chucky Atkins, okay? Yep. And then Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace was basically just like thrown in. It's like, all right, take Ben Wallace. And he turned into potentially a Hall of Famer. In fact, What have we? Where are we at? Have they announced the winners?
Well, they're going in this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
The Kobe's and the Duncan's of the world, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if he was nominated, though, wasn't he, Ben Wallace?
Yeah, I don't think he's going in, though.
Anyway.
I can never keep track with their weird announcements.
Yeah. I know, because they sort of announced the finalists, and then, anyway. But Ben Wallace, I mean, you could argue he had a better career after that trade than Grant Hill. I mean, largely, of course, because of the injuries, but four-time All-Star, All-NBA, Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was just an incredible pickup there for the Pistons, won a championship as well as a huge, huge role factor on their team. You know, his career sort of did tail off a little bit after those Pistons days, but man, what a pickup out off the scrap heap there for the Pistons, considering Grant Hill was going for nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's an awesome one. I hadn't even thought about that one. Yes, Rap Stallion, Ben Wallace better be a Hall of Famer. Mm. We agree with you. We're just confused whether or not he's actually going in this weekend. I don't think he is. I really think it's like KG. We're like, aren't we a year behind too? Isn't that the whole thing? I think it's just Duncan, Garnett, and Kobe. I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know Mark Spears, our guy Mark Spears, is involved in this weekend with the Hoop Hall. We're all trying to make sense of it. But, Ben Wallace, we agree with you, Rap Stallion, that he will eventually be a Hall of Famer. I just don't think it's happening this season. But
right, I think you're right.
I can't keep track. I think I am. I think I got it. I sort of half-ass keep my eye on this stuff. Okay, great questions. Throw them at everybody in the stream team. I know some of you were chiming in with your answers. You can leave them in the YouTube comments below as well. And, join us for the official Beach Devin podcast later today here on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Live on YouTube, and then we flip it into a podcast soon after.
It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I gotta cut out a bit. I gotta switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds, sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation, perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the Journey Pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Okay, time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Lily, what do you got?
Well, I've got two tweets here. And first is just the lob coming in here from Shams yesterday, who just said, the NBA, NBAPA have added updates to protocols for COVID-19. Fully vaccinated individuals' rideshares and taxis allowed, no face shields in treatment sessions. On teams where 85% of players and staff vaccinated, hot cold tubs and steam rooms permitted for multiple people. Mm. And here comes the smash from our friend Blake Murphy, who just said, steam with the fellas once again.
What? Oh, man, I mean, it's funny laugh. For some reason, but it's...
A right. Tweet from the night.
you miss steaming with the boys?
Ah, yeah. I thought about the time where you, me, and Tass and JD, I think it was, were steaming together in Chicago in the Bulls locker room or the...
sauna.
Yeah, what was it? The
sauna.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great, wasn't it? You and Tass just in your towels there and... I remember.
And you in full jeans and a shirt? Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, yeah. Just steaming it up.
Hold on. For those that have no idea what you're talking about, we were not steaming together. We were filming something. I know you just think everything's like a holiday, but we were actually filming something.
And it was a sauna, not a steam room.
Yes.
Ah, okay. What's the difference?
The steam. The steam is the difference.
Yeah, but what do you get in the steam room that you don't get in the sauna? Don't you get steam in both?
Steam, it's literally man. You get steam in the steam room. The sauna is dry heat. It's just air, buddy.
Ah, yeah, wow. It feels like it's steaming in there, too.
Oh, yeah. I like
it
this.
It is steamy. It's hot and steamy, but it is the steam. That is
yeah, the stream team is now the steam team. Y'all know it. Good stuff.
Great. Great.
Okay, what a tweet. I mean, look, yeah. Blake Murphy, a great Twitter follow. He's hilarious. And he's, of course, if you're a Raptors fan, keeping you well informed about the team. I've seen about 100 better tweets from Blake Murphy in the last 2 weeks alone.
Hey,
but
it wasn't
I will
tweet
say
of,
I like it, Lee. I don't know. Something about it made me giggle. So
it's not tweet of the last 2 weeks. It's tweet of the night. It came through yesterday. Yeah. I got the same reaction you got just then to it. I was like, yeah, that's a great little tweet there. You know, just that's what we're all looking forward to. It's been a long, 14, 15 months. We just want to get into a little steam room and get together with the boys and steam it up.
Man.
Okay, now I do want to.
See?
Yeah, just steam with you. Yeah.
Hey, this is normally your back, what do you call it?
Waxing?
Back waxing time. Wouldn't you love to go for a back wax and then a steam with the boys and just catch up?
I would. Yeah. Actually, we got Matty O coming into town here in not too long.
Yeah.
I was messaging, hey, man. Throwback back waxing? You want to hit up Sweet Peach? Wax and steam with the fellas?
Wow.
Maybe so.
Good stuff. Congrats to Blake Murphy on Tweet of the Night. I guess it was a Shams, like you said, a Shams Blake alley-oop there.
Yeah.
Well played. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. Heat Celtics. Miami was favored by 2.5 on the road in Boston. Trey and I said, yep, Miami's going to cover that. They did. So that's a loss for Tass and Lee, who had the Beantown Boys to cover. Pick 'em results brought to you by BetMGM. So, Trey, a beautiful 6-1 here. You're like the Miami Heat themselves, ending the season strong. I'm 5-2, happy with that. And then we got a nice little race here for the bottom of the standings of our very short May Pick'em battle, where Tass and Lee are both 2-5 with, what, 3 nights left for us, right? We got tonight, Thursday night, and Friday night. When it comes to the NBA games of the regular season with us doing the show. So tonight's game, Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, Tass. He's a sicko for this one. The Celtics included again. Favored by 9.5 on the road. Who are they playing? Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're in Cleveland. Boston by 9.5. Lee, let's go to you first.
No way. The Celtics, the Cavs are that bad, aren't they?
No way.
Yeah, the Cavs are that bad, actually. Let me
just check. I'll take the Cavs to cover. I think they can cover. I don't know what I'm doing. I've lost track. I'm trying to pick losers by picking the winner. So I think the Cavs cover that one.
Okay. Let's go right to Tass. Let's find out who he's taking.
Who picked this stupid game?
I'm seeing on some sites that the betting is half for the Celtics and half for the Cavs. That's why it's so tough. I can't get anything right anyways. So I'm going to go with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah. This is good. This is good. You guys are on the opposite sides here. Tass taking Boston to win by 10 or more. Wow. And Lee thinks the Cavs could cover. Trey, you're on fire. Close it out here. Who you like?
Oh, Lee Ellis, tough one right here. The Cavs have lost 11 straight games?
Yep. Oof,
I don't know about that. I just watched one of them. Dean Wade was straight up balling. Does he have it in him again? The Celtics, they actually really need a win. I'm going Cleveland. I think Boston takes the win, but not by enough. Give me the Cavs.
Mm, I'm going to go with Tassie. I'm going to take Boston in a blowout here. A real good 25-point shellacking, even though it's a back-to-back situation. All right, we're split on this one. A couple guys taking Cleveland, a couple guys taking Boston to win by 10 or more. Good luck. All right, that's it for us. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments always for the next Beach Step and podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com to email them in. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And if you don't already, subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so you can subscribe and they know that we sent you. Help us out a little bit. Final reminder here, tomorrow night, Thursday night, May 13th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern start time. It's the No Dunks Happy Hour Charity Drive. We're going to be raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll play some games. We're actually going to do a little bit of our own awards to hand out. The No Dunks Awards, inspired by Kevin Zwerbel. So we'll do that. Just have some drinks. We'll watch the 50th Wedgie happen live together in person. It'll be great. So, guys, please join us tomorrow night here on YouTube, 8:30 p.m. Eastern for the No Dunks Happy Hour Charity Drive. Let's raise some money for a good cause. Okay, we will see you later today. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, there's no such thing as a water bottle that's too big. You gotta hydrate.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.